On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop a text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Happy Friday to you, Matt. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving, and same thing to all of our listeners out there. I had a great holiday. I had to work, but that's all right. Working in radio in the morning gave me the opportunity to talk actually a lot of Bulls, Matt. They had Chuck Swirsky and Casey Johnson on, so it was cool to see that. We got some new weird holiday Bulls leaked news that we need to talk about too, and training camp just a few days away. But first and foremost, man, how was your holiday?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Had a great Thanksgiving. Pretty low key. Not a big extended family gathering or anything like that. You know, I tried to keep it low key and play it safe this year. Watched some terrible NFL football. Congrats to the NFC East for being a gigantic laughingstock. Just now coming out of a food coma, and yeah, man, I'm excited to get into these weird Bulls bits of news that we got over the past couple of days, because Bulls fans on Twitter are just like, you know, throwing all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories around as far as what's actually going on with these recent additions to the roster and the absence of an official confirmation and official announcement of the one guy that they actually signed in the early hours of free agency. So yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on right now, man.
Let's first talk about Noah Vonleh, the guy that was the first announcement yesterday morning. A guy we actually know for Bulls fans that hung around during the year one of the rebuild, that we're still here watching games consistently. Noah Vonleh was part of this team, not for long. I didn't look up the exact game amount, but he came around right around the trade deadline from the Trailblazers, I believe.
Yeah, from Portland.
And he actually didn't have a bad season with the Bulls, at least not a bad stint with the Bulls. The Bulls were just in that scenario where they had Bobby Portis, and I believe Nico was still here at the time, too. So they just had a clogged
front
court.
It was year one of the rebuild after trading Jimmy. So he came on the back half of a bad tanking season. Jordan, I got his Bulls stats pulled up in that half of a 17-18 season. He played 21 games, started four of them. Average 19 minutes a game. Do you want to know what his points per game and rebounds per game averages were? Because they're awesome.
Oh, man. Let's hear it.
6.9 points. 6.9 rebounds.
How many minutes did he play a game for the Bulls?
19 minutes per game.
That's actually not that bad. That's pretty good. Like, if we can get past the 69 in there. That is pretty...
Double 69. This is the greatest stat line ever.
That is pretty. That's pretty funny. But he had his most successful campaign last year with the Knicks too. He was the most efficient he has been in his career. And it seems like Vonleh is one of those guys that's been around in the league for what seems like forever. Him and Zach LaVine, I think, were in the same draft class back in 2014. Both are 6 years in the league, and Vonleh was a former lottery pick again from Indiana. I was actually at school, Matt. I was a sophomore in college when he was there, and that was the most disappointing season of Indiana basketball, probably in the last 20 or 25 years. He was a highly touted five-star recruit coming out of high school, and a dude that I think still has a lot of potential and untapped ability in him, and being only, what, 25 years old. AK saw him in Denver, too.
Yeah, just 25. Did finish up his the back half of this 1920 season with Denver, being traded there from Minnesota. You know, he's bounced around a lot. I think that's those were his fifth and sixth teams since coming into the league. He was the number 9 overall pick for Charlotte back in, as you said, that 2014 draft class. The interesting and curious thing about Noah Vonleh is that, well, first and foremost, the Bulls signed the wrong Noah. Let's just get that out of the way. But he is a center slash power forward, and certainly in the old traditional sense, he's not a floor spacer. He's not a stretch big. Career 30%, 31% three-point shooter, doesn't take that many attempts. And this Bulls front court is already jam-packed, and you just added Patrick Williams to it with the number 4 overall pick. So I think that's why Bulls fans are rightfully wondering what exactly is going on right here, not to mention the fact that his signing put the Bulls at 16 contracts, and we know that they have to get that down to 15 before that season starts on December 22nd. They have until December 21st to do it, so Vonleh likely just sort of a training camp addition. But if they actually want to keep him on the roster, they're going to have to do something, whether it be waiving a guaranteed contract like Felicio or Cornette.
I think that's the most likely thing to happen, right, is figuring out which guy, if they can get something on the trade market for Cornette, or believe that there is some scenario over the next couple of months, I feel like he might be the more useful guy to have as opposed to Felicio, who never sees the floor. But then again, we talked about this late last week too, Matt, about Felicio's contract. There might be a scenario in which the Bulls want that contract on the books for sake of being able to match money if a deal comes along in the next few months. I think that is a scenario that they're going to have to play out. But I would bet by the December 9th deadline, which is the deadline they have to get, all NBA teams have to meet and agree with on waiving and stretching contracts for players, and also too, something that we'll have to get into in a little bit is guaranteed money and what that means for both of these guys that the Bulls have just signed and the guy that's unofficial right now in Garrett Temple. But I don't hate this move, Matt. I was wondering too, what specific skills were they looking for in Vonleh that they might see in a backup big or in a reserve role? And one was his rebounding is insane. I think that's his best characteristic, is he's a great offensive rebounder and he's a great interior defensive player too. So a guy that can put the ball on the floor and go one-on-one with guys underneath, you're probably not going to get a lot from him from three, like you were saying. But if he can defend and he can rebound, I think he's a guy you can play for 8 to 12 minutes a night and not feel totally and completely lost. There were so many times last year, Matt, where the Bulls would put out their backups or they'd put out reserves for 4 to 6 minute stretches. And how many times the teams go on 12 to nothing runs, 15 to nothing runs, 18 to nothing runs. So it would be nice to have some reserve players that actually, if being asked, can play those slots.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're absolutely right when you say that the rebounding is the greatest asset as far as Noah Vonleh's skill set. And that being a point of weakness that AK is clearly trying to address from this Bulls team from last season, where they were just crushed on the boards on so many nights on both ends of the floor. And we talked about that being a big reason why they were so high on Patrick Williams, because the guy's crazy athletic and does a really good job attacking the glass on both ends. You mentioned the quality season that Vonleh had with the Knicks in 2018-19, you know, his best season through his NBA career thus far. And he, if I recall correctly, he had a game against the Bulls where he just like went off. And we were like, it was one of those many examples of like, of course, this random player that used to play for the Bulls just like lights them up. And it was like, really? We're getting torched by Noah Vonleh right now? But in that Knicks season, when he started 57 of his 68 games played, per 36 minutes, because he only averaged about 25 for them that season, but per 36, he averaged 11 rebounds a game. Like, that's big time stuff, and that's certainly something that the Bulls could use if they decide that they want to keep him on this roster.
Let me give you another stat that might intrigue you even more about his rebounding. This is from B-Ball Index. Defensive rebounds per 75 possessions, he was in the 90th percentile last year. Defensive rebound chances, he was in the 94th percentile. Contested defensive rebound percentage was at 34% last year. That's in the 86th percentile in the NBA. Defensive rebound positioning, he's in the 95th percentile, Matt. 95th percentile. Adjusted box out rate, which is something Robin Lopez, we don't talk enough about how much the Bulls missed a guy like that last year. Robin Lopez, one of the best box out, one of the best guys at boxing out in the league, one of the best bigs at doing it. And I think he helped Markkanen out a lot. And I'm wondering if they're seeing some sort of connection there where they need a better rebounder to plug and play along Markkanen in certain stretches. But adjusted box out rate for Noah Vonleh was in the 85th percentile. That's just defensive rebounding. His offensive rebounding numbers are insane too. So I think this is a no lose situation. And the Bulls, I don't believe Noah Vonleh is on a guaranteed contract, although I don't know if anything is official yet. But we can talk a little bit about what that means too for the Bulls for players that are on non-guaranteed deals this year.
Yeah, I checked SpotRack this morning, and it is still listed as an estimated salary, and it's just north of $2 million. But it has no mention of whether or not that's guaranteed. So, you know, I would be surprised considering he right now just looks to be a training camp ad. And then maybe, you know, we would see that become guaranteed if he does actually beat out somebody who gets waived for that final roster spot. Before we get to the other signing the Bulls had, a hometown kid, a Simeon grad, which will be fun to talk about, wanted to let our Locked On Bulls listeners know about the great Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals from our friends at Built Bar. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar all year long, a great sponsor of the show and the Locked On Podcast Network. They are the protein bars that taste like a candy bar, you know, low in sugar, high in protein, great for you and great tasting. And there are some new flavors for the holiday season. We are just past Thanksgiving. That means everybody's starting to dream of a white Christmas. And now you can get some white chocolate Built Bars. Beginning yesterday, Thanksgiving, so active today, Black Friday, you can get at BuiltBar.com some new flavors like the white chocolate cookies and cream bar, which is just 130 calories with 17 grams of protein and only 5 grams of sugar. Also, the white chocolate salted caramel bar. And they got candy cane brownie bars, which, by the way, you get 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased at BuiltBar.com this weekend. Go to BuiltBar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get an extra percent off. And then the deals continue on Cyber Monday with 2 more delicious white chocolate flavors, white chocolate cherry sundae and white chocolate coconut deluxe. I can't wait to try these flavors myself. Go to BuiltBar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED to get an extra percent off. And those deals continue with Cyber Monday as well. BuiltBar.com.
That's a victory play that we run at the end of games.
One quick thing on Noah Vonleh real fast, Matt, before we go to Zach Norvell Jr. Another stat from B-Ball Index that surprised me, and I was wondering, I was like, is there any offensive potential in Noah Vonleh? I saw what he could do at IU, but it was just clearly at IU he was the best, most talented player at that time in kind of a weird down year in the Big Ten, and he's bounced around in spots. He put up a season high when he was with the Bulls a few years ago in 14 points where he absolutely lit up the Trailblazers, but outside of that, I was wondering, I was like, did AK see something in Denver while he was there last year in an offensive potential, even in a very, very limited role? I was like, what is he seeing there? And the thing that popped out from B-Ball Index to me was his effective field goal percentage, his true shooting percentage, and his points per shot. All of those. So effective field goal percentage was 57.9%. That's 84th percentile in the NBA. True shooting percentage was 61.4% last year, 86th percentile in the NBA. And points per shot was 1.15, 82nd percentile in the NBA. So he's very good at going one-on-one. He's very good in isolation, and he's very good at scoring on putbacks. All things that I think the Bulls were very, very weak at last year. And that's not to discredit Carter or Gafford. You're just asking a bunch of guys to do things that they're not normally capable of doing. And also, injury inconsistencies too. You never knew what lineup was going to be out there. So I think adding Vonleh is a very, very low risk with a potential for a decent return.
I mean, those are, you know, to keep things in perspective, a pretty small sample size numbers. Are those numbers just with his stint with the Nuggets or for his entire 1920 season?
Entire 1920 season.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because I think he only played like 5 or 6 games for Denver after coming over in that trade. But yeah, I mean, those are encouraging numbers for a guy who could just put the ball in the hoop, especially when you think about the Bulls being a team that, like, you know, Jim Boylan was bragging all season long about how the Bulls were getting all these great looks at the basket. But they weren't converting. You know, their conversion rate at the rim was like laughably bad. So he was trying to prop up. Well, look at all these great looks we're getting at the rim. It's like, okay, well, you're not making any of them for whatever reason. So, you know, that could be another thing in Vonleh's favor as far as him trying to make this roster. But the other element to Vonleh before we get to Zach Norville, and then, you know, we can also talk about the Temple element here is this another signal that Thad Young is on his way out of town, Jordan?
I think so. I think they're just trying to find the right deal, right? And maybe the thing that we have to understand is this might take going into the actual season to happen, right? Which is, I think, why it's even more important to understand whether or not Vonleh is on a guaranteed deal or not. If he's not on a guaranteed deal, you can technically bring him and keep him on the roster all the way up into the back end of February. I believe the date is, I'm going to look it up right now, I believe the date is February 23rd. They need to make a decision on guaranteeing guys money or cutting them and sending them into the waiver wire. So that could give the Bulls some time to maybe still work out a deal while seeing what they have in Vonleh. And you're probably going to have to guarantee Garrett Temple his money and his spots. So to me, this says this is getting an increasingly clogged front court. And I still believe that they're going to want to play Otto Porter some minutes at the 4 too. Add on top of Patrick Williams wanting to be played there. And we'll see if Noah Vonleh plays the 4. Maybe he's back up to the 5. But just in case, maybe an insurance policy as well on Carter and Gafford at center if one of those guys goes down with an injury. But this screams Thaddeus Young's probably on his way out.
I think so too. And I'm still not even convinced that Vonleh is going to stick. Because again, yeah, it would involve the Bulls having to waive somebody else on this roster or orchestrate some kind of trade where you're sending away more players than you're taking back. So, you know, those are possibilities. You know, but you could also make the argument, obviously not with Felicio, but with Luke Kornet especially, and the way that he can stretch the floor, that they might see Luke Kornet as a piece worth keeping around, especially if they change up their defense and he's actually playable on that end without all the blitzing schemes that Jim Boylan was running. Because in drop coverage, Luke Kornet is like at least serviceable and could be an occasional rim protector and shot blocker while also being a 3-point threat on the other end. So I'm curious to see whether Kornet, you know, sticks on this roster ahead of Vonleh, or they see Vonleh and he's rebounding and his efficiency, as you pointed to on the offensive end, as more pressing need for the roster.
Jim Boylan said that he reminds him of Robert Horry.
I think that's probably, instead of Thad, maybe the more immediate move is, I think either Felicio or Kornet are probably going to get waived. And to me, it's...
And the Bulls would have to eat that money, right?
Correct.
Like, for Felicio, I think it's his last year is 7.5. But I think Kornet's only like 2.5, so...
Correct. And the amount of money that Vonleh's making more matches up with what Kornet is making, too. And the thing with this, too, is the weird thing is if you stretch and waive Felicio over the next 2 seasons, the Bulls still are taking a cap hit of $7.5 million this year, so it doesn't help them save any money necessarily this year in terms of the caps of spending. So, to me, maybe it is... It's crazy to say this, but maybe there's more incentive of holding on to Felicio's contract for a couple more months and letting Kornet walk if you think Vonleh's a better, more productive player in limited time than Kornet would be for a year.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, you want to talk about this Simeon kid?
Yeah, let's do it. Another Chicago connection, which is cool. Now we have two of those storylines this year. And he's somebody that people should be somewhat familiar with from last year. I think we talked about him drafting potentially him in the second round, a guy who went to Gonzaga, played pretty decently there, had a couple workouts with the Bulls last season before the draft. And then he ended up bouncing around to a couple different places. What did you find most fascinating about this? I find this to be another buy low, sell high, potential just invite to training camp type of deal for the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, another combo guard, which kind of fits the bill here of what we've seen. You know, he obviously primarily a shooting guard in high school and college, but did also play some point, particularly at certain moments when Zaga was having injury issues. I love the 53-point game he had in AAU in Vegas a few years back. He came out 76th ranked recruit in the national ESPN top 100 while he was, you know, impressing people in that AAU circuit. A couple of really strong seasons at Simeon, 27-3 his junior year, and won the section final before they, you know, were two games shy of the state championship. And in that season, he got a Chicago Tribune All-State special mention. And then his senior year, averaging 18, 8 boards and 4 assists, led Simeon to a 30-4 record and placed third in Illinois 4A. And then chose Zaga over a couple of other interested quality programs, including Florida State, where we just got Patrick Williams from, Georgetown, and Iowa State. He also was teammates with Kendrick Nunn when he was a freshman at Simeon. So I thought, you know, pretty cool connection there as far as other Simeon guys who have recently really impressed at the NBA level that kind of theoretically come out of nowhere. As far as whether or not he sticks, to me, this just seems like a training camp body. You know, it would be cool to see another Simeon kid end up in a Bulls jersey for, you know, actual NBA games. I just don't see his path to making this roster right now. What about you?
Yeah, I don't see it either. It is kind of a cool story, though. And maybe if, you know, there's probably a world where he doesn't end up on any NBA team to open the year. Maybe the Bulls invite him to be a part of their G League team, maybe sign him to a contract there, and he can continue to work on his game, and who knows. I think it's also interesting, too, to think about a couple of different factors in terms of the players and the model that the Bulls are looking towards. Again, we've been talking about this for months. What type of mold, what type of ideal players Eversley and Karnishov is looking for? Here's the top talent areas for Norvell from B-Ball Index. Playmaking is one. Off-ball movement is two. Perimeter shooting is three. Four is perimeter defense. So once again, Matt, looking for guys that can playmake, can play defense, and are constantly moving. How many of these guys out of the five that the Bulls have added, really four officially, one unofficially, how many of those guys in their top four talent areas have playmaking and off-ball movement in their top four skill areas? Four out of the five of those dudes do. So it makes a lot of sense of what the Bulls are going towards. And again, like you said, could be just a training camp invite where we look at them for a month and they say, hey, thanks, but no thanks, and see you later. But cool story, and same thing that we're getting with Devin Dotson, like you had mentioned before too. But yeah, back to like kind of the mold of what the Bulls are looking for in a player. It makes sense, even going down to the guys that they're inviting to training camp. They're looking for that mold of player in another buy low situation with Norvell.
Yeah, and you know, not a great sample size of his five NBA games played as an undrafted free agent this past 1920 season. He was on a two-way contract with the Lakers, waived, then signed 10-day with the Warriors, played a couple of games for them, but did not get an extension offer on that 10-day. But between the Lakers and Warriors G League teams, there's a 36-game sample size that you can look at. And some decent numbers in those 36 G League games, averaging 14.7 points per game, shot nearly 39% from three-point range on 7.8 attempts per game. So a guy who's certainly confident enough to chuck up several threes a game and knock them down at a nearly 40% clip. You certainly like that, given how badly the Bulls struggled behind the three-point line this past season. And, you know, to your point, some of those other abilities, the playmaking, the perimeter defense, you know, he's 6'5". He's got decent length for a backcourt player. Another example of the mold of players that AK is looking for to completely reshape this Bulls roster.
To kind of round out free agency as a whole, although it's been sort of underwhelming, and even going into the draft too, where we thought there might be a trade coming, and there could still be coming up to opening day, but even if there's not, I think the Bulls are going to continue to work the phones and try to move as many assets for controllable assets and free up some money too while adding decent talent and looking to move guys like Thad. And I think even to an extent too, if the Bulls towards the trade deadline find something valuable for Denzel Valentine, he could be a guy that gets moved as well. He's on a solid contract, $4.7 million, and only 1 year on that too. So maybe a contender is looking to flip a pick or a future asset for him. So that could be another guy on the move as well. But let's talk about one guy that hasn't been made official yet by the Bulls, and that's Garrett Temple. Are you worried about this at all? Because I don't think I am, man. Garrett Temple already tweeted out, too, that he was excited to be joining the Bulls and coming to Chicago, and it's been pretty much all but made official. I'm wondering if he's just either it's a travel thing or he came to Chicago and had to quarantine for a certain time. I think it's more maybe about travel issues than an actual roster issue, don't you think?
I mean, it certainly could be something as simple as that, but I think it's because, you know, we got from the Bulls' official social media accounts, Instagram and Twitter and an announcement on their website, the signings of both Patrick Williams and Devin Dotson that, okay, well, so official, like video of them signing their contracts official, and then we got an immediate official welcoming from the Bulls official account, you know, welcome back Noah Vonleh. And nowhere in there, since we got initial word from Woj that the Bulls and Garrett Temple agreed to a 1 year, $5 million deal, did we get anything official from the Bulls. So I think it's fair for the fans to kind of wonder what's going on. And it could just be logistical issues that you presented. But the other, I guess, more interesting theory that's being floated by Bulls fans on Twitter right now is that could the reason that this signing of Temple, to our knowledge, has not yet been made official is that maybe there's still some kind of trade or move that AK is working on behind the scenes right now. Because, you know, we've been talking a lot about Brooklyn. You know, do the Bulls maybe want to try and get another great backcourt piece like Dinwiddie in a trade? Meanwhile, Brooklyn and maybe Houston are having talks about James Harden. And might the Bulls be a third team to help kind of, you know, make other pieces of that trade possible as a third team facilitator? And maybe Garrett Temple in some kind of sign-in trade is something that has to happen for a Bulls Nets trade or a Bulls Nets Rockets trade to go through. Now, you know, at this point, it's only speculation. We haven't heard anything like that from any, you know, reliable NBA sources, but it is a little curious.
Now you got my tinfoil hat on for a second. Now I'm wondering if there actually is maybe a move that's in place and they kind of just told them to hold off. Hey, this is what we're doing. Want to just be completely straight up with you. But the only thing, unless this has popped up between the time where they agreed with Temple and sent the notice to every NBA reporter and saying, hey, you can tweet this out. It's not official until that, because it came out, what was it, Friday or Saturday, and they couldn't actually make deals official and sign until Sunday at noon. Even after that noon deadline, we still haven't gotten him officially signing. So maybe there is, but was there a window in between that time where they agreed to a deal and Temple tweeting out he excited to come and be here in Chicago, and all of a sudden maybe there being a deal progressing to the point where we're like, hold on, we got to hold off on signing anything until we know whether or not we can make this move. That Houston Nets and Bulls three-way deal to make something happen, I haven't played with that, but that might be interesting. Is there any, it wouldn't just be Temple. Are we talking like now more into the camp of maybe dealing LaVine or maybe having to deal one of the bigs in Markkanen or Carter? Is that what we're talking about? Or maybe to a lesser degree, a Thaddeus Young type of player?
I mean, to me, Thad still seems like the most viable and likely guy to be traded. I think he wouldn't mind a fresh start somewhere else after his, you know, enduring Jim Boylan for a year. And there is, you know, as the, you know, overcrowded front court, and you assume that Donovan and his guys are really going to want to coach up Patrick Williams his rookie year and get him a lot of minutes, which is another reason why the Vonleh signing is curious. But I think it's still possible that AK's like working on some big move, and maybe that involves Zach LaVine. And again, like, I saw, you know, a couple more people in our inbox over the past couple of days, again, asking, why is everyone talking about a Zach LaVine trade? Why isn't anybody talking about a Lowry trade? Somebody also had that in Casey's mailbag earlier this week. And it's like, guys, how many times do we have to tell you? It's because Zach has trade value. And right now, Lowry really doesn't. There's a reason Zach's name was being floated all over the place leading up to the draft, and then in the first couple of days of free agency, because he's a valuable piece on a valuable team-friendly contract. And that's a piece that teams want. So that's why his name's getting floated. And simultaneously, we have also heard, you know, and this is more so speculation, but just based on what we know about AK and his brand of basketball, that maybe Zach LaVine doesn't exactly fit in that system. And maybe that is something that AK is looking at saying, okay, obviously Zach is the most talented piece. We like and appreciate Zach and his game, but could we get a really solid trade haul for him while reshaping our roster if we strike while the iron is hot? So, you know, I haven't heard anything concrete about Brooklyn like really wanting Zach or Houston really wanting Zach, but those are the two teams that people are talking about right now as far as Temple still being not officially signed.
And I've been, Matt, this is a conversation we've been having for months now about Zach too. It's not, I don't think there's a negative connotation that has to be paired with Zach and trade rumors like you were just talking about. I don't think that necessarily has to go hand in hand together. The way we're talking about Zach might line up with maybe what Zach's goals are too. Is like, he's talked about it. How many times last year did he say he's sick of fucking losing? And I went back and watched his interview on First Take when he was here at All-Star Weekend. And man, he sounded dejected when he was talking about, you know, I'm putting up all these stats, but I know it means nothing unless you win. And him having this like glow of talking about with players like playing with players like LeBron or Kevin Durant, the caliber of those players and what it would mean to him. I think that there's a world where AK and Mark Eversley have had multiple conversations with him this summer and even continuing leading up to camp, saying, hey, man, maybe it's the best for both of us. Maybe we can find a situation where we can move you to a team that's ready to contend now, and you're that final piece there, and you're very valuable, and we can get things in return here. And the relationship doesn't have to end on a sour note just because you are talking about moving him. And that's a conversation, I think, and an answer that people might need from Zach is like, do you want to stay here long term? Are you super committed to Chicago, or do you want to go somewhere else and win right now? My instinct tells me he would be like, it's cool, I had a great time here in Chicago, the people are great, but I'm ready to win, and I would much rather be moved now. I think if there's a world where it can work for both sides, right?
I think it's possible. And again, like, if that ends up being something that happens, you and I, and I think plenty of other Bulls fans, will be devastated to see Zach go. Because he's been like our safety blanket in a very traumatic time as a fan base. But again, whether it's trading Zach or anything else, I'm putting my faith and my confidence in this new front office's vision right now. And who knows where we go from here? But it's just a mental health thing, frame of mind. Stay in a positive frame of mind. Trust that this front office has a vision and has been given permission by ownership to execute the steps to make that vision a reality. And if that involves sending away Zach at some point leading up to this season or during the season, I will make my peace with that. And I will believe that they have this team's best potential future at the forefront of their minds when making such a big decision like that.
I'm not going to dispute you on that. You're right.
So I guess to kind of wrap things up here in terms of what the Bulls are looking at going into training camp, and we might get some more news. It's just so bizarre. Like, the Bulls announced those deals on Thanksgiving Day. when most of people, if you were watching sports at all, you're probably watching the NFL. I was like, oh, this is weird. Morning Bulls news. Again, the offseason being so short and sweet, every day counts, even holidays and Thanksgiving. So for me, going into training camp on Tuesday, Matt, and we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. It's going to be interesting to see over the next 2 weeks if they do decide to make a move on Cornett and Felicio, and it means Noah Vonleh stays here for good. I think it's going to be an important week of camp for a lot of those guys in kind of unknown situations roster-wise, but I think we're going to get a better idea maybe in the next 10 days of if there was actually a deal on the table and what the hell they're doing with Garrett Temple's contract. Any final thoughts before we go into the weekend about the Bulls' moves, their roster, what you're expecting heading into training camp in just a couple of days?
Nah, man. I'm just really excited for training camp to start. And unfortunately, between now and then, we have to watch Mitchell Trubisky under center for the Bears Sunday night. I am not looking forward to that. I hate losing to Green Bay. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I'm coming into this Bears-Packers primetime Sunday Night Football matchup assuming an L and a bad one. So, you know, Bulls fans, on the bright side, things don't look as bad for us right now.
He's not numb.
Stop. And anybody out there making the Mitch Trubisky and Patrick Williams comparison, stop. Like, we get it. Matt and I get it. Matt, you're more of a Bears fan than I am, but we lived apathy as Bulls fans, diehard Bulls fans, for what feels like 5 years, and it grew progressively worse every single year, even into the rebuild. So we get what mediocrity feels like, and it sucks that it's happening with the football team, especially if you don't like the Bulls. But please stop with the Trubisky and Patrick Williams comparisons. Like, it's not even close, man.
That's, I mean, who's making that comparison?
I saw a lot of like casual Bulls fans, but diehard Bears fans say that
they reached on the pick.
Yes, and like took a guy that they loved, but I'm like, they didn't give anything up. They didn't move up to get Patrick.
They didn't trade up to get him.
It's okay. Take a deep breath. The Bulls are in a better situation now. It's crazy to say that than the Bears are. And very excited to see what training camp brings on Tuesday. Hit us up if you've got questions, comments, thoughts, trade scenarios. You've got the trade machine working this weekend. Send those to us at 331-979-1369. Hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks for listening all week long. We appreciate you. Appreciate all of our sponsors out there in Built Bar and Built Go for sponsoring the show all week long. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Finally.
The kid really has an incredible work ethic. He's extremely physical, big time athlete, and he has a super high IQ on the court. It's just been a real, real pleasant surprise.
Inside, Vonleh in a lot of traffic scored anyway.
Nice catch.
He told you to shut up
because he can shoot that shot.
His pass deflected. Picked up by Norwood. Back to Chris up.
One to shoot, Hezonja. Vonleh slams it down on the follow.
Norwood had some good minutes in the first half.
They're smiling. Each layup is good.
State off the scoop and score and one for Norvell.
Zach knows how to put it on the deck and into the interior. Very nice.
Listen to me, Steve. That's the second time he's put Poole on the floor.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com